Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring day sort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Uncle Wes, Uncle Bill, Uncle Kenny, Uncle this, Cal. We love him, known him forever. I know him, both coaches forever. I'm taking my time.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
DJ Wagner's probably going to go to Kentucky. You got me. Ha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Penny's a bum. Like, we know that Penny can't coach, and he had good players. He didn't do a damn thing with them. So they're wallowing in their own. I mean, Penny Hardaway's class this year was what? Nothing. Like, his class next year is going to be what? Nothing. Like, those dudes aren't going to Penny anymore. The book is out on Penny. He's done anyway. That's all that he's already done.
A little manna from heaven today, Jackie Pie. Oh, goodness. You know what the lead was going to be. Is this truly the barometer game for Kentucky against Ole Miss on Saturday? That's what it would have been instead. Our guy Travis Branham with a little, all it takes is two tweets about DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw, and we follow that stick right off the porch and we lead with it.
Oh yeah, we always chase the stick. Just,
it's manna from heaven, and it's also funny because Streeble off today. And he's not happy about that. He's not happy about that. So here's what he's doing today. Did we even talk about this yesterday? He's doing parent-teacher conferences till like 7:30, 8 o'clock tonight. That's what he's got to do, Jack. He's working all day. Big boy's doing a full day of work.
You know what we need?
Like, that's what he's doing. He's doing a full day of teaching, and then, like, he gets an hour off, and then he does meetings the entire night.
We need him to call us during one of the meetings and crush Louisville and DJ Wagner while there's this random kid's parents just sitting there next to him.
That would be funny. I just think now with the audience is, number one, they've heard it, and number two, the buildup, right, Jack?
Right.
The waiting can also be titillating, and that's what it's whatever. We have a loaded show today, by the way. We're hanging out, Liquor Barn Studios. It's The Take on ESPN 680, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Andy Sweeney, Jack Grossman hanging out with you today.
Hello, ladies.
We got you to 6 o'clock. We're busy, busy, busy today. Michael Borky will join us at about 335, 340. Or so. We'll talk with him. Sports Talk Mississippi as we get you ready for Ole Miss and Kentucky. A game that I still have Kentucky winning. I have no good reason as to why, but there you go. So we'll see if that changes. Pat 40 in the 4 o'clock hour. Jeff Goodman coming up. Not Gordon. Jeff Goodman coming up at 4:40. We'll talk with him. Memphis, many other items. They had the Almanac come out for Field of 68.
So you're saying we should play the Streeble sound about Goodman?
I mean, just any Kentucky fan.
Yes.
Just any Kentucky fan. So, Jack, I'm sitting there today, and I got to be honest, I feel like, you know, this tweet, I didn't see it till about 9:30 or so. So they did get to mention it on the old Diener show. You know, I had to send it to Blankenbaker. And it reads as follows from Travis Branham. DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw, two top five players in the 2023 class, are expected to visit Kentucky for Big Blue Madness on October 14th. And so I tweeted out, listen, we've talked about this on the show. Does anyone have any idea out there? Let's crowdsource this. Let's get the leeches and the roaches and the rats on Twitter to bite, and let's feed them some cheese. Hey, is he going to be at Louisville Live the next weekend? Like, it's time we got the answer to that question.
Is he going to Louisville Live or not?
Couple minutes later, Travis Branham, the current expectation among sources is that neither DJ Wagner or Aaron Bradshaw will visit Louisville.
Secured.
And well, I just, and here's the thing. And I gotta keep it real with you guys. And here's, you know, Jack, I mean this and I don't mean this. I mean it and I don't mean it. There's a small part of me. A very small part of me, because obviously Strebel makes my job a lot easier, makes everyone's job a lot easier, okay? He does a 6-minute bit on Jack Harlow, and while he does that, I'm picking up free agents in fantasy football, okay? Jack's doing, he's reading emails about a remote tomorrow. I mean, like, we're doing other things while Strebel gives us the 4.5 minutes on Harlow. But today I feel like I get to talk without his BBN voice being the megaphone that covers everything up.
Crystal ball, vent.
When it comes to this story. And I just get to talk, okay? And we'll get his thoughts. No, we wish Big Guy was here. We kid. Of course we kid. But it's okay. I mean, like, that's what I would say. It's okay. Louisville people, it's okay. You got to get AJ Johnson, but it's okay. And you can just admit that it looks like you went head to head with Calipari and you lost. And it's okay.
They don't want to admit that.
Well,
though.
I mean, no, it doesn't. No, you, and not, if it turns out being. And the crown jewel here is DJ Wagner. Listen, I think Aaron Bradshaw, I think there is a fantastic chance he goes to Kentucky. I do not think that is locked in for a couple different reasons, but I think it is. But it's okay. This is what the rivalry war is all about. There are winners, and there Jack Grossman are losers. And it's very clear, and if it ends up trending the way that it is, it's going to be a win for Kentucky, and it's going to be a win for John Calipari. And who knows if we'll ever know the truth? Who knows if this has been a done deal for the whole time? Who knows if those in the media started, you know, I mean, everyone bit when Milt was hired. Everybody bit. It was done. It was easy fishing for John Bowl on Rough River on a Thursday night at 11:37 p.m. after a newscast. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? There's no reason to be silly about it. If the kid goes to Kentucky, Kentucky won, and you better get ready. Their class is going to be ridiculous. And we have seen John Calipari win, and we have seen him lose with ridiculous classes. Yes, you can cue that conversation. We don't need he's 6'2". We don't need a pivot about not wanting. I don't want any sound here, Jack. I know we have a lot of sound. We got to save some of it. I just want to talk to people. That's what I want to do for a second. There's no reason whatsoever to do anything that would be clownish. It's if it's a done deal and the kid goes to Kentucky, to Kentucky, and you lost this one. You lost this round. And of course, Kentucky fans are going to be mean and nasty and everything else. Of course. There are winners in the war, in this rivalry, and there are losers at times. And it's very clear in the game coming up in November in football and December 31st in basketball, it's going to be black or white. There is going to be a winner and there is going to be a loser. And if DJ Wagner and especially if Aaron Bradshaw go both to Kentucky, there it is going to be a winner, it is going to be a loser, and you hired Milt Wagner, and that's fine. Like, there's no reason to fight back with all of these. I mean, I've seen on Twitter today people, well, he's only 6'2". Suddenly the way, I mean, after all the whining and crying, oh my God, Kenny Payne didn't go to Spain. And it was all the Spain stuff. Suddenly now it's, well, you know, he sucked in Spain and Louisville has cooled. I'm like, you guys have lost your mind. Well, you know, Louisville has, you know, all the NCAA IARP stuff. Really? That hasn't been mentioned until now. It looks like
I was the only person that mentioned that.
We're nearing the finish line, and it seems as if you're not in the race.
Yep. Hi, guys.
Yeah, there's no reason to do any of that. It's okay. Listen, Cal's been burned by this. He didn't get James Wiseman.
Cade Cunningham.
He didn't get
Zion.
Cade Cunningham. But especially those two. Especially those two. And James Wiseman, probably, to me, the top of that list. James Wiseman would have went to Kentucky. I feel confident about that. So it's like, dude, it's now listen, it's, you're holding the L. Me and Jack hold them all the time. Like, on a daily basis, we're holding L's. Like, it's like I'm holding an L all the time. Like yeah, you're holding it. You know, like, go get A.J. Johnson. You got, like, other 4 and 5 stars. Kenny Payne seems to be going after 4 and 5 star talent. But in the 2023 class, out of the top 30 kids, A.J. Johnson's probably the one. He's going to be there. If it's down between you and Texas, go win the damn recruiting battle for A.J. Johnson.
Beat Butch Beard.
If he doesn't beat Chris Beard, it's then going to be even more of a problem. But you don't need to give me he's 6'2", and DJ Wagner's not that good, and you don't need to do any of that. Everyone wanted the kid. He's one of the top kids in the country, and it is what it is. We don't need to overcomplicate it. No one needs to go out there and embarrass themselves as it pertains to this story. If it's a done deal, it's a done deal. And Jack, you better get ready on the Indiana side. And Blank, I mean, guys, get ready. I mean, I know what the discussion's going to be. It's the amount of recruits they could have. I mean, it could be what? 1, 2, 3, 7, 10, 20. I mean, it could. Get ready for that onslaught of obnoxious UK fan. And I know you're going to battle with Cal will still lose in the Sweet 16. I know what I can hear the BS conversations now. And you know what, Jack? The next battle will have started again. We will have ended, if this continues to trend, we would have ended one battle. The DJ Wagner battle in a smaller yet fruitful battle, potentially, of Aaron Bradshaw. And yes, and I haven't, me and Jack haven't even talked about this. The day it happens, I mean, what do we do? What? I mean, that Dropbox is littered with how many megabytes of feces?
That's all
from
I
both
did
sides
this summer.
Of this. Yes. It's an entire summer of feces that Jack Grossman has created. Presented by Vitality. Do you understand?
Can I just search DJ Wagner and just read some of the titles on there?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, just do that. So listen, we had to lead with the manna from heaven. There's no reason to do all the pivoting. The pivot here is A.J. Johnson is a kid you're all in. The pivot here is go fill this class out to where it might be a little bit of a numbers game over maybe some of the quality that you were going to get and go do it. It sounds like,
all right, hang on.
It sounds like I'm coming at this from the Louisville side, and I am. because the reaction is, of course, you know, we know what the Kentucky reaction is. The Louisville side of all of this is interesting. I just continue to think, just own it. You hired Milt. We all said the exact same thing about what that meant. I mean, remember when he was playing downtown, Jack, in the AAU event? I mean, Griff was there. Griff was at the AAU event. Yep. Milt was there. Everybody was there, were they not? I mean, do we remember how many Louisville fans showed up? I mean, Bozich went to an AAU event on like a Friday or Saturday night. Give me some of the titles. Go ahead.
All right, Maben and Rummage fantasized U of L getting DJ Wagner and Bronny James.
God, I forgot about Bronny James.
Rummage, God, not worried about UK putting on a show for DJ while he's in Louisville. Rummage wants Harlow at Louisville Live to impress DJ Wagner. Treble, DJ Wagner not coming, clip six.
Clip six, which means there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and probably Treble, a 7, 8, Treble, 9, 10.
Card bums, DJ Wagner rant 4. Blank, going to take more than Uncle Wes to get DJ to Louisville.
Oh, man.
Branham, KP a perfect hire, great chance at DJ, will have UK sweating.
Oh, man.
Rummy,
man,
U of L will be title contenders with DJ Wagner.
Oh man, you know what? Can you just stop there? And we need to come back to this bit. I mean, Jack, I sat here and told Strebel, "Hey, listen, I tried to talk him out of it, didn't I?" I'm like, Strebel, these Louisville Strebel, fans
who's
are going
to
crush you.
DJ, Gramps or Pop Pop?
Or Pop Pop. Oh, I can't believe he has no information. He did his predictions out of spite and out of hate, and he's going to be end up colossally right, and there's nothing we can do about it. And I can't fight him on it because he's going to win.
Issel talked to Milt Wagner about the DJ.
Oh, that's good. All right, we got to keep that. We need to go back to that because I know there's 400 sounds. So I know literally I could go to that just about every segment and we would get something out of it. So, I mean, listen, that's out there. We can talk about it. There's a number of things that go with that. It's just, you don't have to, you can just admit, hey, we wanted DJ Wagner. We didn't get DJ Wagner. And that's it. If that's the way it goes, it's going to be a bad look. I will say this. 437-9680, it's a take on ESPN 680. I will say this. And many people have brought this up. And it's, well, what about, I mean, why wouldn't he take the visit? Why wouldn't he at least, you know, come visit, you know, grandfather and Kenny Payne and family and everything else? Why wouldn't he go to Louisville Live, right? And that's I think a valid question. My opinion on that would be the following. I actually think, if this is clear cut and over, and now there's no doubt Kentucky fans feel that way, and you know what? Probably Louisville fans as well, right?
I think we learned
Goodman's
that today.
Goodman's coming up at 4:40. We'll talk with him about it. Then there's no reason to tease. Me and Bobby V were talking about this when we were, you know, having the switch over here at the Liquor Barn Studios. Hey, there's no reason to tease here and go to Louisville Live. Louisville Live then becomes about DJ Wagner, and now you need to make it about a guy like AJ Johnson. That's it. If he goes and, you know, gives you all of the Louisville moments and gives you that weekend and you got the final visit from him in not Kentucky, and, you know, I mean, for these next few weeks, you think you're going to get him or you think you have a really good chance to get him. It's a big conversation piece. If Louisville's not part of this, we're going to be the only show that's going to mention DJ Wagner the day he commits. I mean, you know what I mean. For the most part, you know, it'd be a heavier part of our show than just a smaller part of it. But, man, that to me would be this dangerous tease, would it not? I mean, I don't know if you would consider it to be unkind, but if you know you're going to Kentucky and it's done, I'm working under that assumption, which I don't know if that's true, but I'm working under where all of the arrows are pointing, right? I mean, that's what we're doing here. than him going to Louisville distracting attention from other recruits that are there for Louisville Live. I mean, for me, it would be then, if he's going to Kentucky, a good thing that you know it, which they may have already for a while. You move on, you focus on other guys, you make them a priority, and you don't get this tease. And we end this saying, DJ never even visited Louisville. And I know Kentucky fans will make fun of that. I understand that. I know that they'll make fun of that, but at least you didn't get teased with that. So that's my opinion. Jack, I'm going to move on here, but did you have anything else you wanted with that?
I would say just about, you know, talking about, you know, the battles and Kentucky winning the battle, it seems like. I think the issue is less that Kentucky won the individual battle. It's that Louisville and Louisville fans are looking just to win any battle. And this was, for a while there, this viewed as not just a battle, but it was the battle.
And it was a slam dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it was talked about around here. Again, this is a part of it. We don't have to do revisionist history. It was talked about around here by everyone but Strebel that DJ Wagner was going to Louisville. We have 800 sounds of everybody at the radio station saying that except for him. I mean, it's how we talked about it, Jack.
Yeah.
The Louisville loss here, there's no reason to not talk about the loss that potentially may happen here. Because the flip side of it is that Kentucky is going to have an obnoxiously good class.
Well, which the other thing, and I've been on
which
this
is
take.
A whole different story
I've been on this take for a minute, which Louisville fans, feel free to come and join me here. That
don't want to do that.
No, they
do
don't. But the class of 2023, well, they don't want to do it because they also need a really big class in 2023. DJ Wagner, Aaron Bradshaw, or no DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw. The fact that that class is as down as it's perceived nationally,
right? Yeah,
to where you
That's
can
a good point.
Yeah, to where you can have a really big class, but like I still expect. And there will be a need to, and Calipari's done a good job of this the last couple years, so you would expect him to be able to do it again. Even with that class next year, he's going to have to go into the transfer portal and get dudes on top of it. You can't just have only freshmen and it be a freshman-laden team. I don't think the class is good enough to where you can win and win big with only freshmen this year. There's some classes that you can do that, and obviously Cal has done that in the past, but we've seen in other years, you know, obviously the Nerlens Noel year comes to mind, the BJ Boston year.
Oh, sure.
I mean, those
are
the most extreme
failures.
Examples.
We don't
even when they lost to, you know, Tom Crean.
Yeah. Oh, don't ignore it. They've had failures with big time players.
I think this is closer to, I'm not saying they're going to go 9-16. I think they're going to be really good. You'd be crazy not to, but they will need to add pieces through the through the portal or through guys returning. You can't just have the class and that be everything.
Listen, I'm totally with you. No, it's
that goes for Louisville too.
It's a seesaw battle because Cal did that, and then for a couple classes, for a couple classes, then he got older guys, and it's like, okay, Cal has fundamentally changed who he is, and then what happens? He goes out and gets this class, which is reverting back, and it's like, okay, which is it? No, I think they're going to get guys, and listen, Louisville's going to have to do the same. I mean, Caleb Glenn and Curtis Williams, I mean, the expectation of them coming in and playing big minutes immediately, I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, we ready to say that? I'm not. So, I mean, they're going to have to fill their team. Kenny Payne's going to have to, I mean, let's just be honest. He's going to have to not miss on transfer portal guys.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. He's going to have to land A.J. Johnson.
Yeah.
At some point, the Louisville fans going to have to actually put something on Kenny Payne. And I know he hasn't coached a game, and win a battle against Chris Beard.
Butch Beard.
Or Butch Beard. One or the other. I thought I said it for a second. Chris Butch Beard.
Chris
so Beard. That is out there. 437-9680. Just quickly, I wanted to ask you guys this before we get to break here and we go to Michael Borky, and that's this about Kentucky and Ole Miss. About Kentucky and Ole Miss on Saturday. It's revisionist history. Is this, and I know this is just a very corny sports radio opinion or conversation topic, but Cerebral's not here. No, but is this, I don't know, what kind of barometer is this?
Oh, it's huge.
Because, I mean, you know, it's about 75% on ESPN. This is going to go off as a touchdown. I mean, a half point either way, but it's going to be about a touchdown favorite. And I'm trying, because the pieces, I know Kyle Tucker, someone from the Herald Leader, you know, now it's like, can they knock down another door? Can they go beat a team from the SEC West, right? In a place that they haven't played at in the Stoops tenure, and go and win in a hostile environment, and to not be Florida. I mean, they've done that a couple times.
That's so dumb that Stoops has been there for a decade, and this is the first time they've played at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, and they've lost.
That's why we're ditching the division.
I mean, they've lost last second, man. Who was the coach? Who was the coach at Ole Miss when they lost the last second a few times? And no, it wasn't Houston Nutt. And it wasn't Lane Kiffin.
Was it Hugh Freeze?
I feel like it was Matt Luke. I want to say Matt Luke was the coach maybe for one of those games. Maybe I need to go back and look that up. I mean, there were some crazy high scoring games.
But I mean, this is the type of game where if you win this game, it becomes okay. You can win 10, maybe even 11 regular season games.
And you could be top five. So I guess I guess the answer to that ultimately is yes. And that's not me denigrating the Florida game at all, but doesn't everyone now pretty much think that Ole Miss
is better than Florida?
Yeah. I mean, don't we feel that way? Now, ultimately, Florida might end up being 6-6, and Ole Miss might be 7-5, and we look back, but with the data that we have, and then the other thing, and we'll talk with Pat Forte and Michael Borky about this, is that's crazy about this, is just how much the shoe is on the other foot with this game. I mean, this game is Lane Kiffin, you're used to seeing the bomb, and now he runs the ball. Like nearly 1,200 yards in four games of running the football. And usually that would be Mark Stoops, okay? And now he's throwing the football the way we have seen Lane Kiffin throw the football. So, shoe on the other foot with this one. Let's do this, Jack. Quick break, and Michael Borky will join us next. We'll talk with him. Some Ole Miss football. We'll do it. We'll do it next on a Wednesday on ESPN 680.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I hope after the game, if Ole Miss wins, if they happen to win big,
yeah,
I hope Blank's right there walking off the field as Lane Kiffin walks off the field.
Yes.
And Lane just gives him a big old kiss.
Yeah, just mwah.
Just a big old smooch.
Right on the puss.
Just, right. Mwah.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Back in the Liquor Barn Studios on this Wednesday. You know it's a Wednesday. You know that means it's also a Witch Wednesday. Thank you to Jason and his squad hooking us up with some lunch today. Carry out, curbside delivery. They got you covered. The two locations here in Louisville, Hurstbourne, the other Brownsboro Crossing. Perfect for lunch, dinner, your next tailgate. Fully staffed, open 7 days a week at both locations. Order online or the Witch app, Witch Superior Sandwiches. So we appreciate them being part of the show on this Wednesday. Okay, well, let's preview the game with Michael Borky. Joins us, Sports Talk Mississippi, getting ready for the matchup there. Noon our time, 11 a.m. your time. Fans not happy about that around here. Michael, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Yeah, fans not happy about it around here either, but it's sold out, so at least all the tickets are out, but I guess it's the nature of the beast with the new television being such a big emphasis. And, you know, people around here used to think that, or still think that, it's like you're just getting relegated to Jefferson Pilot or whatever, and you're going to get Dave, and Dave on the call, and you're the worst game of the weekend. Not exactly the case anymore, but it doesn't matter when your Grove time is cut down to like an hour when the sun hadn't even come up yet.
Yeah, so. See, I think that's it. Here's what happened on the Kentucky side. There are still many fans that are what you're saying. We're noon, we're being disrespected. Like this week, I think noon has like a ton of good games, if I'm not mistaken, not just Kentucky and Ole Miss. So yes, there's a group like Ole Miss fans that are saying, well, you know, it's noon, we're being slighted, and then the charge was led by, and there should be a good number of Kentucky fans there, Michael, that are going to the Grove, and I'm like, man, the rest of you, you're just going to be at home watching College Game Day. You know, get the game over by 3 o'clock. You're good to go, right? Get the rest of your night. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's, I've heard from players this week that if you're on the road, you would prefer an 11 a.m. game, not just because the atmosphere is going to be less drunk, if we're being honest, but you're not just sitting around the hotel all day long with like
beans
and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You're just kind of waiting. It absolutely has a benefit for a road team, but it does cut down the atmosphere some. I mean, Ole Miss is not known for its in-stadium game day. I think that's very apparent. I mean, even when the place is packed, which it will be this weekend, it's not built in a way that traps in noise, and it, that's not what makes game day at Ole Miss great. It's the stuff that happens before the game, and it's just not the same. So for the Kentucky fans traveling, I'm sorry that you're going to have to deal with a short Grove time and a less inspired one.
Can you hang out at the Grove after the game, or do you not want to do that?
You can. It's not the same.
Sure.
People set up, it's still going to, it'll still feel good and all that, but if you lose, that's the last place you want to be.
For whoever loses, Michael Borky with a Sports Talk Mississippi. He's getting ready to go on the air here in the next 20 minutes. So we'll make it quick with you. I'm looking at ESPN, and I just had it up here. You look at their predictor, 78.5% chance that Ole Miss wins this game on Saturday. Why do you think that number is so lopsided, in your opinion?
Oh, that's a great question. What I'm so fascinated by with this game is there's so much unknown with Ole Miss. I mean, not from the program. Lane Kiffin's done an absolutely phenomenal job so far with his time at Ole Miss. You think, regardless of the outcome of this game, the program's going in an absolutely positive direction. But the thing with this game is we have no idea what Ole Miss actually is. I think they're good at this. I think they're bad at this. I think is all the conversation we've had over 4 weeks because of their schedule. There is very few I knows about this football team. So your guess is as good as mine in terms of what we've seen versus what is true, because they've played Troy and they got up 28-3 and just shut it down. They played Central Arkansas and beat them by 56, but it's Central Arkansas. They
right.
went to Georgia Tech and looked really good, but Jeff Collins just got fired, and God bless their quarterback, Sims, was no threat downfield whatsoever, and they get up 35-14 against Tulsa and then kind of played sloppily in an empty environment after that. There was a lot of things that I think they do well, but I don't know, because none of the teams they've played have given them a real look in the same way that Kentucky will this weekend. So maybe, the Kiffin factor being at home defensively, they returned a lot of guys. It's a lot of experienced guys on defense still, so maybe that's why it's so lopsided. But there's so many questions about what Ole Miss actually is. This game's going to tell us a whole lot about them.
What are the things that you feel like you do know about this team? You mentioned there were a couple. Okay. Yeah,
I mean, the running back,
they run.
Is absolutely legit.
They run.
Quinshaw Judkins, the freshman, he was completely overlooked by Alabama and Auburn. He's a three-star player from the state of Alabama, but was like Mr. Football in 6A Alabama high school football. Not good enough to get an offer there. He's an absolute star in the making. Zach Evans, the TCU transfer, has been really good. Now, there's questions about his health. There's no injury information comes out of Lane Kiffin's program. You've really got to dig. There's talk about a possible hip pointer, and he's going to try to give it a go, but if he does, he's not 100%. But even still, those two guys paired with Ulysses Bentley, an SMU transfer, their running back room is absolutely legit and as good as the numbers say that they are. Jonathan Mingo, their go-to wide receiver, he's played a lot of SEC football. He's finally healthy, looks really, really good. And linebackers in secondary play is also something that I'm pretty confident that I know they're going to do pretty well. Troy Brown, another transfer, there's a theme with Ole Miss, has been excellent so far. Just a sure tackler, almost always in the right spot. Kari Coleman, guess what? Another transfer, leads the team in tackles for loss. Didn't play last week either, but he'll play this Saturday. Those are the things that I'm fairly certain that I know about this team. Everything else, though, big fat question mark.
Yeah, I think the question mark on the Kentucky side, just to kind of shoot the you-know-what, and Michael Borky with us talking some Ole Miss football here on ESPN 680 105.7 is, I feel like we know, I mean, this, you know, maybe it changes once we get into the real, you know, beginning Saturday, the heart of the SEC. To me, I feel like we know Kentucky. The only unknown is, does Chris Rodriguez, which is bad luck for Ole Miss, coming back, does, you know, him coming back greatly enhance their running game? Because, you know, and one of the funny things to add to that, Michael, is, you know, the shoe's on the other foot. Mark Stoops can't run the football and doesn't have the offensive line, but he can throw the football around and has wide receivers all over the place. And Lane Kiffin this year has ran for 1,200 yards. and doesn't have a quarterback like Matt Corral last year, right? I mean, shoe's on the other foot in this game on Saturday.
Absolutely. And what's so interesting, and again, the opponents have really not given Ole Miss an adequate look, but places where some teams have had success is running directly at them. Ole Miss is a little bit unconventional without the lineup defensively. They do a 3-2-6. You heard that right. Mm-hmm. Three down linemen, two linebackers. Now, it's not like they have six DBs on the field. They'll have two safeties that play close to the line of scrimmage, and they're basically linebackers. Otis Reese, for example, who's going to miss the first half, by the way, on a targeting suspension, he's 6'2", 225, 230. But he's a safety and plays close to the line of scrimmage. But still, it's a numbers game on the interior, and often so far this year, even with the opponents that they've played, they've given up some chunk yards right up the middle, and I'm curious to see if they make some adjustments there or load the box a little bit more, because their defense is built to stop these wide-open spread offenses like you see with Mississippi State or whatever. But I don't think that Kentucky's going to attack Ole Miss that way, because I think that gets them beat. But if you run right at them with what they've shown so far this year, that's where Ole Miss is most vulnerable, because they really just don't put that many guys in the box. And even Tulsa had success running directly at them last week.
That's just so interesting, because literally every other Mark Stoops team would be licking their chops to run the ball straight up the middle at a defense, and they've been running outside more. Mark Stoops has bemoaned that. You know, Scangarello, he came from the the Shanahan, the 49ers, that zone read on the outside. Is that the windows? I love that. Sorry, Michael. That's our computer keeps going off in the middle of a show. It's not you, it's us. What was I saying? I can't even remember. It doesn't even matter. But usually they would take advantage of that. You know, Northern Illinois really brought the pressure on Kentucky, and Kentucky just threw right past it. So that's what's going to be interesting there. Jackson Dart, quarterback. What's Ole Miss having him?
So I think they've got a really talented guy that's really raw. And, you know, he joined the team at the end of January is when he committed to Ole Miss, transferred from USC. He would not have transferred. He really liked where he was, but Lincoln Riley came in and, you know, brought his quarterback with him, and so he had nowhere to go. It wasn't one of those, you know, he was unhappy or whatever, loved where he was, but he wanted to go play too. Transferred to Ole Miss in late January. In spring practice, split reps 50-50 with a four-star, Luke Altmyer's his name, a guy that Lane Kiffin, you know, that was his first real hard recruitment, was getting Altmyer. They split reps 50-50 in the spring. They split reps 50-50 all through training camp. And then the season started, and Dart started the first game. Kiffin gave Altmyer a start in the second game, and Altmyer hurt his shoulder. Just a little bit banged up, tried to play through it, but Dart was clearly the guy that had the higher talent ceiling. So he's raw. He will make mistakes. He's shown so far this year that, you know, he's not a finished product, but he's a good athlete and an effective runner, and he has the tools to be a really high-ceiling football player. Issue is, he's not anywhere close to being that yet. He's not there yet. But sometimes he flashes and you think, damn, that kid's going to be really, really good. And then other times, you know, he'll rush a throw and his feet won't be set and something underneath he'll just miss. In the first game, there was a couple of deep balls that he just overthrew by a step or two, and that seems to be getting a little bit better. But he's raw, but he's really athletic and really talented, just not anywhere close to a finished product yet.
And again, shoe on the other foot, usually Lane Kiffin has the better quarterback when these two teams or many teams play, and he may not on Saturday, but still interested to see what Ole Miss brings. Have not seen nearly, I loved Matt Corral last year and just all the Lane Kiffin, you know, stuff. I followed them a lot more quickly. Michael Borky with a Sports Talk Mississippi previewing the game on Saturday. Jordan Watkins transferred from U of L. He's got 6 catches on the season. I mean, do you guys even mention him? What has happened to him, I guess? That would be my question.
Well, really, the only mention so far has been how bad he was, quite frankly, in punt return last week. He dropped a couple, luckily was able to dive right on him, and then also made a really bad decision, a ball that he let hit the ground, and it was rolling, about to stop, and he just decided to pick it up and got tackled right away. Two horrible drops, and then a really bad decision in punt returning last week, and luckily it was Tulsa, but ask Mississippi State what happens when you drop a punt in a big game against the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, it costs you, and so he's got to get better there. The wide receiver core in general has not shown you as much as you thought they were going into the season. Mingo's been really, really good. Malik Heath, the Mississippi State transfer, if you can believe that, a Mississippi State player now plays for Ole Miss. They've been good, but after them, it's really just kind of been underwhelming at best with Watkins and Jalen Robinson, who has been hurt, but still, when he plays, hasn't been good. They really drop off after those two guys at wide receiver and have been, frankly, a disappointment so far this year.
Yeah, Jordan Watkins should have stayed. He would have had, what do you think, Jack, 45 catches this year, over 600 yards, probably 5-6 touchdowns in the Louisville offense. And that, I don't know what happened. Things got sideways there. People thought Satterfield was going to lose his job. Then the AD almost left, and the president left, and they kept Satterfield. So, yeah, I can understand why Watkins left. I didn't think he would go down there. I mean, the kid might not have 10 catches all season. Did not think that would be the case. Last one, Jaquez Jones, Kedron Smith. I mean, Smith was on the team last year there at Ole Miss. A couple years ago, Jaquez Jones. So, you know, Mark Stoops has been able to get some players. You know, both have been active in the transfer portal. You guys talking at all about those two who, you know, playing big minutes for Kentucky every week?
Yeah, and Kedron Smith is an interesting, especially interesting one, because Ole Miss does this thing. A defensive player every year gets awarded the number 38 jersey. It's to honor Chucky Mullins, who died after being paralyzed on the field against Vanderbilt many years ago. And it's given to the defensive player that most exemplifies what Chucky did. And so it's not just play on the field, but it's character and teammate and all that. He was that for Ole Miss. And he transferred out of Ole Miss to Kentucky. So that's fascinating. They really could use Jaquez Jones on this team. Troy Brown's been really good. Kari Coleman, the transfer again, those two guys have been really good. But he would be playing a lot for this team right now and would help alleviate some of their issues
sure.
with this power running game. And I've heard privately that within the halls of that building, because he wouldn't have started last year. He made the right decision for himself. He transferred, and he's playing, and he's playing well. Both of Ole Miss's middle linebackers last year are now on NFL rosters and playing. So
sure.
he made the right call for himself. But I've heard privately that they wish they would have found a way to keep him, because this year he would not be backing up anybody. He would be playing a lot for this team.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting. You know, Kentucky's been able to find a couple players, and a couple of them have been from Ole Miss. Ultimately, do you have a good feeling what happens on Saturday? Any gut feeling yet? Still early.
A good feeling? No, not really. Not a good feeling at all. But I am curious to see what Ole Miss does schematically with in particular their tight end. Michael Trigg is a guy that they haven't used much this year. He's another transfer, but he's super talented. One thing that Lane Kiffin is brilliant at is exploiting mismatches. There are things that Kentucky will see on Saturday that they have not seen on film yet. And I think that guy's going to be Michael Trigg. So if he has a big day,
okay. If
they're able to have success throwing the football, especially to a guy like him, then I think Ole Miss will win. But if they don't protect well, like they've shown at times this year, they can't. If up front they're kind of getting beat up by Kentucky, they have a real chance to lose. Prediction, I don't know yet. We're supposed to do it on the show
Friday, right? Oh, you got to do it Friday. Yeah, you know, we need to start doing a prediction on Monday for the next week. Not just on Monday. We don't know who's going to play or not. The coaches haven't had their press conferences where they complained about the fan support like Lane Kiffin did today, you know, or yesterday or whatever. Well, Michael, I know you're going on the air here in 10 minutes. We appreciate the time. You need anything from us, reach out, and we appreciate it. Have fun watching the game on Saturday. This is the biggie in the noon slot, Kentucky and Ole Miss. Appreciate it.
Oh, well, anytime. You know it.
All right, there we go. Michael Borky with us here on ESPN 680-1057. You know what's funny about it is
how if this was any other season,
any other season, Mark Stoops would just take his offensive line and take C-Rod or Betty Snell or anybody, hell, even Smoke this year,
yeah.
Okay? And he'd just run up the middle and he would feel alive. He would feel like himself again.
He'd waddle and just be so happy. He'd be so happy.
I mean,
that's all he wants.
Can they get to the second half? And will Lane Kiffin be able to get busted coverages and big plays against Kentucky's defense? Of course, no J.J. Weaver. Right now, I don't hear a lot of Kentucky fans making that excuse, mostly because I mean, Jordan Wright and J.J. Weaver are guys that have been often injured. I mean, they just have.
Yeah.
They have been guys that you have dealt with on the injury report, missing games. I mean, they did the thing this year that they had. I mean, they've only been on the field for the same time, a game and a half or so, something like that this year. So, I mean, we know the injuries there that can happen in football. Kentucky, what's killing me about this game? Is Kentucky plus 7, Jack? Is that what it is? Hang on. Let me get DraftKings. Hang on. Everybody stop. By the way, while that was going on, I just got my my ring that the mailman was there. And got a purchase. Forgot I made that purchase.
Oh,
I may have been
purchase?
Well, I may have been intoxicated. It's a picture print of a band.
Oh, man.
do you like that, Jack? What am I looking at here?
Kentucky Ole Miss
What
spread.
Is it? Is it 6.5?
It's 7 now.
It's 7?
Yeah.
This is the problem. Come on. Kentucky's going to go on the road. If they lose, they're not going to lose by more than a touchdown. and that's what they want you to think. And that's what they want me to think. And that's what they want Andy Sweeney.
I'm probably not betting that game.
Yeah, that's what they want Andy Sweeney to put on the airwaves so everybody runs to their bookie or DraftKings or both.
I don't think I bet that or the Louisville game this week,
What's
to be
Louisville?
Honest.
I don't even 15 know.
15.5.
Give me Louisville.
Yeah.
I mean, give me Louisville. I will ride Louisville's bump. This game and the next game. Okay?
I'm picking Virginia to beat them.
No, I'm not. You are? Come on. No, you're
they
not.
They never win
so
at Virginia.
Strieble won't do that because he'll reverse psychology.
He's already done. No, I think
you'll
that,
do analysis.
They lose to Virginia and beat Wake Forest.
Okay. But lose to Pitt.
Yes.
Unfortunately. I think that might be a bad matchup. All right, we got a bunch of texts coming in. Quick break. Pat 40, Sports Illustrated. Keep them coming. He joins us next on ESPN 680.